One of the interesting phenomena of Canadian life are yard sales. Now, I don't go to them, but I do find them kind of intriguing, that one person's trash becomes another person's treasure, that someone who can't wait to get rid of CDs and DVDs and other things put it all out there, someone else comes by and says, I can't believe what I found, and they go home and think, wow, that is such a buy. What a deal. And then he or she clutters up their house with the stuff that the other person has gleefully just gotten rid of. Well, Satan once had a yard sale, a garage sale. He wanted to get rid of some of his old tools that were cluttering up his house, like gossip, slander, adultery, lying, greed, and lust. And he laid them all out on the tables. And an interesting buyer came by, and he went to the back of the garage. And he saw another tool there that really intrigued him. And so he brought it to Satan and said, what about this tool? I'd like to buy this tool. And Satan said, no, you can't have that one. Oh, no, for you see, with that tool, I destroy the world. And the guy asked, well, what is it? And Satan, rubbing his hands gleefully, said, that is the tool of discouragement. Discouragement. Nothing takes the life out of you more than discouragement. A discouraged person has a powerless spirit. It's like that awful feeling of having had the wind knocked out of your sails. Another word for discouragement is the word to be disheartened. When we feel disheartened, we feel like a limp balloon, right? There's a little bit of air in it, but it's all just limp. Whereas the person who is encouraged, the person who is heartened, is more like a helium-filled balloon that is taut and confident. The enemy of our soul wants nothing more than for us to feel disheartened, to feel discouraged, to feel like a tautless balloon. Now, how does the devil use this masterful tool of his, this tool of discouragement? Well, this, beloved, is how he does it. He wants us to, first of all, distrust God. And then once we distrust God, because God cannot be trusted, he then wants us to disobey God. And if he can get us in that place of distrust and disobedience, then he's got us where he wants us. And we live through this world disheartened and discouraged lives. I thought the children sang that psalm so beautifully this morning. And that is such an amazing psalm. It's one of the most important psalms. When we pray what are called the office of readings as priests, we pray Psalm 95 every day. So it's a psalm that I'm always praying. And one of the things that's at the heart of this psalm are these verses that the Lord speaks to Israel. Do not harden your hearts as at Meribah, as on the day at Massa in the wilderness, when your ancestors tested me, they put me to the proof, although they had seen all of my work. Meribah, Massa. These two names become more meaningful to us when we know what they mean. The word Massa means testing. And we read about this in Exodus chapter 17, when the people put God to the test. We've just finished reading of their great deliverance from Egypt. They've come out from the Red Sea. They're now on their way to the Promised Land. And we get to chapter 17, and the people are thirsty. And so they say to Moses, what have you done for us lately? What has God done for us lately? And so they put God to the test. And then later on, we read in the book of Numbers of another place that is called Meribah. Meribah means contention. And when they were at Meribah, that's the place where Moses got so aggravated and agitated with them that God said to Moses, speak to the rock, but he hit the rock because he was so angry. Now I ask you, in your own lives, if there is distrust, if there is murmuring, if there is contention, how do you feel? Do you feel encouraged? I don't think so. We feel discouraged. We feel disheartened. And so we need to appreciate this, that we live in a world where the devil wants to put us to the test by having us disobey God, and he wants us to be contentious in our relationships. And what happens when that occurs? Our hearts become hardened, and the devil has used his tool so successfully as he has sown discouragement into our souls. So the question then is, what is discouragement's antidote? It's one word: obedience. Did you notice how in today's gospel, when Jesus addresses the demon that is in the possessed man, that the man convulses, but the demon comes out of him? And here is a fundamental spiritual principle: obedience to Jesus Christ will liberate the heart from the oppression of discouragement. But believe me, it does not happen without a fight. The enemy of our soul wants us to remain deflated, and he wants to fight against Jesus' command. But here's the thing: the devil has no ultimate authority in the presence of Jesus Christ. We have to come to a place in our lives where we desire more than anything else to learn how to listen to Jesus. We want to desire more than anything else to experience deliverance in the face of the enemy's resistance. There was an army man. He'd been in the army for 35 years. He had been a heavy drinker, and he had been a man who was filled with anger. But then he encountered Jesus. Jesus encountered him, and his life began to change. He was speaking before a group of doctors, telling them about this change that had happened and was continuing to happen in his life. He was now sober when once he had been drunk. He was now considerate when once he had been severe. He was now becoming concerned with others when once he had been self-serving. And a psychiatrist said, "Sir, this is impossible. This kind of thing cannot happen because our personalities are so firmly fixed from the time we are early in life that this kind of change is not possible." And the colonel said, "Well, sir, I'm not sure, but all I can tell you is my soul is now under new management. There is another authority, the highest authority, the truest authority, who now is managing my soul." In the 12th century, one of the doctors of the church, a man by the name of Saint Bernard of Clairvaux, said the same thing in this pithy sentence: "When God forgives a sinner who humbly confesses his or her sin," get this, "the devil loses dominion over the heart he had taken." Hallelujah. When we are sincere, and you've got to be sincere, when you are sincere in saying, "Jesus, I've had enough of living my life my way, I want to come under your authority," the devil does lose his dominion over us. And then what occurs is we discover what it is to live under new management. So what does this kind of life look like? There is a missionary who got lost in the South American jungle. There was nothing around him but bush and a few cleared places. He finally found a small village, and he could speak the language, and he asked a person in that village, could he take him out of the jungle? And the man said, "Yes, I can." And so the missionary said, "Please, please take me." And so they walked for hours through dense bush, hacking their way through an unmarked jungle. And the missionary began to worry, and he said, where's the path? And the gentleman from that part of the jungle said, in this place, there is no path. I am the path. How do we get out of the world of this, the jungle of this world? The only path is Jesus Christ. And it is this that is the theme of our Old Testament reading and our gospel reading. In the 18th chapter of Deuteronomy, Moses anticipates one who will be a prophet like him, who will come up from the Jewish people. And I want you to appreciate something here. For the Jewish people, there was no prophet greater than Moses. Whenever the rabbis spoke, they would always trace their authority back to Moses. And indeed, in Deuteronomy 34, where we read of Moses' death, there is this very interesting verse. Never since has there arisen a prophet in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. And yet here in Deuteronomy 18, Moses said, God is going to raise up another prophet, and we are to listen to him. And appreciate this. For the Jewish people, they puzzled for centuries over what is the implication of this. Who is this prophet? And then we get to Mark chapter 1, and Jesus is in the synagogue in Capernaum, and Mark tells us, they were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes. Now, I always thought that Mark was putting the scribes down there. He's not. They don't speak in their own authority. They speak in the authority of Moses. But here is a man who's not speaking in Moses' authority. He's speaking in his own authority. Now, from time to time, Father Jerome and I like to tell you a Greek word here or there, and this is a time when he did it in his homily yesterday, and I'm doing it today. The word authority in Greek is the word exousia, exousia. Ousia means substance. Ek means out of. And so exousia means out of his own substance, out of his own authority because of who Jesus is. And the point, of course, is the following, that the one who spoke to Moses, the one who spoke throughout the Old Testament, is now speaking in the Capernaum synagogue in his own substance. And the amazing thing is that the person or the spirit that recognizes Jesus for who he really is the demon. What have you do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. The point and the conclusion of this homily is the following. We live in a world where repeatedly the evil one is trying to dishearten us and discourage us. And if my own life is any example, this is a lifelong battle. You will not be at the end of it until we are in the fullness of eternity. But what we can do is, as we come to a deepening desire to say the antidote to the devil's discouragement is obedience to Christ, do you know what I've discovered in my own soul? That more and more, I hear Jesus say, quiet, come out of him. I am a much more ordered and integrated person at the age of 57 than I was at the age of 47, than I was at the age of 37, 27, 17. But the thing that we need to recognize and just always keep before us, beloved, is that each day we have to make a choice to submit our lives entirely to Jesus, so that the disordered and discouraged part of our lives can come back together. Those who learn to submit to Christ realize that there is none that is greater than he is. but how hard it is for us to do this. Because sometimes we think that Jesus wants to destroy us. He doesn't. He wants to restore us. And the last thing I'll just point out is that Jesus performed this exorcism on the Sabbath. The Sabbath is the day when God celebrates his work of creation. And in Jesus, the Sabbath becomes the day when God celebrates his work of re-creation. And that's what God is doing in us. He is recreating us. So I say to the devil, have your discouragement. I say to the devil, I'm not buying what you're selling. Because we are choosing not to listen to you, but to listen to the one who has exousia, the one who has authority over our souls, the Lord Jesus Christ.